going to use just one verse to springboard off of this morning. Turn to Amos chapter 4. All right, let's have a word of prayer before we open the Word of God together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your Word, the truth of it. And Lord, as we think about a very, very familiar topic this morning, may we not become complacent. May we not come with the wrong attitude because we've heard it before. But Lord, may we be open to your truth. I just ask right now your Holy Spirit will guide us into your truth. Prepare our hearts and our minds for what we need to hear, what we need to apply, what we need to take out these doors to a world around us that needs your Son, Jesus Christ. So Lord, use this time to bring honor and glory to your name and to prepare our hearts to be used by you and to belong to you. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Amos chapter 4 and verse 12, Amos writes this: "Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I shall do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel." Now, as we look at this letter from this shepherd slash prophet, I want you to think about those five very powerful words: prepare to meet your God. This is a warning for all people. This is a warning not to be canceled. So many times people today think that the Old Testament is antiquated. It doesn't really apply. There's nothing we can glean from or learn from. In fact, some churches today never ever preach from the Old Testament. It's strictly New Testament. But I tell you what, there is so much rich truth in the Old Testament. And there is so much that we can learn and so much that we can grasp and hold on to and apply. And this warning, prepare to meet thy God, prepare to meet your God, is given to us and it's not canceled. We still need to pay attention. We're going to look at this morning why we need to listen to, why we need to pay attention to this warning. Prepare to meet your God. We're going to look at three simple things this morning. Number one, we must meet God. We must meet God. In this passage, we see that judgment is impending. But Amos doesn't state what the judgment is going to be. You know, he's very vague. And so the haunting uncertainty of Amos's words make that threat of judgment more ominous. Here, the judgment is to come when Israel meets her God, and she is told to prepare for that awful moment. Now, Israel is going to meet her God, not in a face-to-face sense, but in an encounter with God as he intervenes in history to bring about the destruction of Israel, to bring judgment, to bring swift and powerful judgment. That word prepare is in the imperative. And so it has an aura of finality. When Israel meets her God, she will finally learn the nature of that coming judgment. And for that word prepare, we aren't sure what Amos means. It may mean a warning, all right, you have time, get ready. Or it may mean, if you cross the line, it's too late. So it's just, get ready for it to happen. We aren't sure, and Amos's wording is a little bit vague. But because they haven't turned to God in the previous judgments, because they hadn't turned to God in the previous warnings, Amos holds out no hope that there's going to be some wholesale repentance by all of the people. And suddenly things are going to change and their hearts are going to change and they're going to become obedient to God. Now, praise God, and I hope you're excited about this. Praise God, he always gives a warning before he acts. You know, he always gives a warning before he acts. And he tells us to get ready for what lies ahead. And God never gives an empty warning. When God gives a warning, you better pay attention. Now this warning here, prepare to meet your God, continues into the New Testament. We are told, and I'm going to read several verses to you, you don't have to turn to them. But he warns us that after death is judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. There's a warning. You're going to die, then you're going to be judged. He warns us that one day every single one of us is going to give an account before a holy God in Romans 14, 12. So each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Every one of us is Christians. If you're here this morning by faith, you've trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. One day as Christians, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And those that don't belong to God, those who've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, turn me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20, because he describes what will happen for the unbeliever. One day they're going to stand before a great white throne. In Revelation chapter 20, look at verses 11 through 15. Revelation 20, 11 through 15, then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now Amos didn't tell Israel what the judgment would be. Sort of left them to fret and squirm a little bit. I don't know if this ever happened in your home when you were a child, but it happened on a few occasions in my home. There was just my brother and I. Craig was 3 years younger than me, and we had a typical sibling relationship. We hated each other a lot of the time. You know, we fought like cats and dogs, and my brother, I've shared with you, he was killed in an accident when he was 18, 2 weeks after he graduated from high school. At that time in his life, my brother was the most dynamic witness for Jesus Christ that I've ever known. He was very faithful witnessing and sharing Christ wherever he went with his classmates. He didn't care the ridicule. He shared Christ. But when he was younger, he did things my mom didn't know about. All right, my brother was great, is 3 years younger than me, great at doing things to push my buttons to the point where I responded. And just before I did anything, he'd yell and call mom, and I'd get in trouble before I even did anything, all right? Now, as we would fight and do those things, and my mom, once in a while, my mom was a very gracious, patient, loving person. I miss my mom dearly. She was just a godly woman. But if you pushed mom to the point where she said, go to your room and wait till your dad comes home, all right? Now, in those days, we didn't have an alarm clock in our room. We didn't have a clock in our room because mom always woke you up when you needed to get up. So if it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and you go to your room and you're just told to wait, and dad comes home at the earliest 5:30, a lot of times closer to 6, for that an hour and a half, 2 hours, that seems like an eternity. And what are you doing while you're in your room? You think, oh man, what's going to happen? You know, I have a pretty good idea what's going to happen, but how severe is it going to happen? How much longer do I have to wait? And you're imagining the worst. For us, the worst is hell. And God tells us to prepare. God tells us to get ready. That message we read in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it's appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Death is an appointment that we are all going to keep. Unless Jesus Christ comes to rapture his church, we are all going to die. We don't know the day, we don't know the time, but it's going to happen. That's an appointment that we are going to keep. There is coming a meeting that we cannot escape, and we must meet God. It's going to happen. We also see number two. We must prepare to meet God. We must prepare to meet God. The very first word in verse 12 is the word therefore. Therefore. I remember my pastor growing up, Pastor Rich, who was here for our installation service. And I know this didn't originate with him, but he would say time and time again, if there is a therefore, you must find out what it's there for. All right, and so there's a reason. So here Amos is pointing to the past. Because Israel has persisted in their rebellion, regardless of the former judgments they have faced, there's going to be more judgment. Judgment has to follow judgment until there's a change, until there's repentance. As parents, you don't discipline your child once and think they're good for the rest of their lives, because that behavior usually continues. So judgment has to follow judgment until there's a change, until there's repentance. That's true for all of mankind. We are all going to face judgment. We are all going to get what we deserve, in a sense. Now we need to remember, God doesn't command the unnecessary. So here when he commands Israel, prepare to meet your God, there's a reason for that. There are a lot of people in our world today who think that they're ready to meet God. They think they're ready to meet God because of things that they've done in their lives. Think about Adam and Eve. They certainly weren't ready to meet God after they took of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves. You know, they weren't ready to meet God. People think they're ready to meet God because they've been baptized, because they take communion, because they're a member of a church. People think they're ready to meet God because they're born into a Christian family and they go to church every Sunday. People think they're ready to meet God because they're born into America, which is a supposed Christian country. People think they're ready to meet God because of the things that they've done in their lives. Well, I've done a lot more good than I have bad, so I'm ready to meet God. Back in Amos 4, look at verses 6 through 11. Because here is what Amos is reminding them about. It says, I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities. That means they didn't have any food to eat. And lack of bread in all your places. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. All right. You were disobeying, so I took away your food. Is an act of judgment to see if I could get your attention, and yet you wouldn't return to me. Furthermore, I withheld the rain from you while there were still 3 months until the harvest. I'd send rain on one city, and another city I'd not send rain. One part would be rained on, while the part not rained on would dry up. So two or three cities would stagger to another city to drink water, but would not be satisfied. Yet you haven't returned to me, declares the Lord. All right, I took away the food for a while, and that didn't work. So I affected the harvest, which is going to take away the food for quite a while, and that still didn't work. Verse 9, I smote you with scorching wind and mildew. And the caterpillar was devouring your many gardens, vineyard, fig trees, and olive trees. Yet you haven't returned to me, declares the Lord. Then, verse 10, I sent a plague among you after a manner of Egypt. I slew your young men by the sword along with your captured horses. And I made the stench of your camp rise up in your nostrils. Yet you haven't returned to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were like a firebrand snatched from the blaze. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Time after time after time, God gave them a chance. Israel sort of fell into that mentality and that mindset. We're God's people, sort of like we do today. We are ready to meet God. We're good enough. Everything I've done in my life, my mindset, who I am, that prepares me. I'm okay. Listen to what Isaiah recorded a couple thousand years ago that is still just as true today. In Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, for all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds, all those good things we've done, are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. Talked about Adam and Eve. They thought they were ready to meet God. And after they sinned, what do? They hid. In Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar certainly wasn't prepared to meet God when he wrote on the wall before him. When Saul was on the road to Damascus, he thought he was ready to meet God. Saul could give the answers that a lot of you will hear as you share Christ. That people give to say, I'm ready to meet God. I'm okay. I'm going to heaven. Think about who Saul was. He had the right name, grew up in the right tribe. He had the right reputation. He had the right education. He had the right job. He had the right skill set. He could say the right. He was religious beyond anybody else. He was zealous in his religion, it says. He did all those things, and yet God showed him he was not ready to meet God because he didn't know God. He didn't have a relationship with God. God warns us before he acts. He's warned mankind that judgment is coming, so you better prepare. You better get ready. And just like Israel, he's given us chance after chance after chance to respond to him. But one day it's going to be too late. But the good news is, number three, we can prepare to meet God. We can prepare to meet God. God never commands the impossible. So when he says prepare to meet your God, we can prepare to do that. We can prepare to meet God because he himself has made a way through Jesus Christ. That came about when Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, but he, Christ, was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. Romans 5, 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died to pay that price for our sins. Then he rose victoriously from the grave. In Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Then verse 13, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. We can prepare to meet God by faith. Acts 16, 31, they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe, and you will be saved. Romans 5, 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I know some of you right now saying, Pastor Jeff, I have heard this hundreds of times. And why do I have to hear it again? Because I guarantee you, there's some of you right here listening to me this morning who think you're ready to meet God. You're playing a game with God, and you're fooling everybody around you, but you're not fooling God. Let me tell you about a friend of mine named Larry. Larry grew up 12 miles from here. Larry was quite a bit older than I am. I was talking to Doug Klosterman this morning. He knows Larry, and Larry is a couple years older than Doug, so that means he's really old. But Larry grew up in a Christian home. Larry went to a Christian school. Larry served the Lord in his church, taught Sunday school, was a board member, did a lot of things. Larry married a woman who grew up on the mission field, a missionary kid. Larry was doing all these things, and Larry was in his late 20s. He was serving the Lord, he was teaching Sunday school, and one day God just got a hold of his heart, and Larry came to the realization that, God, I've been playing a game. And I've been going through the motions. And I've fooled everybody but you. And it was then that he received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. God radically changed Larry's life. And I'm not saying this happens to all of us. He had a good job, made very good money. Took an early retirement, cashed out all his retirement, bought some property, and started a mission. And today, Larry is the director of Siloam Missionary Homes that provides homes for missionaries who are home on furlough. I think they house like 12 to 16 families for like 16 months at a time, and they're just serving missionaries, and they're meeting with them. They're loving God. But he played the game. He could give you all the answers. He looked the part. But he came to the realization that, God, I'm not fooling you. Right now, some of you are probably playing the game. You can fool me any day of the week. That doesn't take much. My six-year-old can fool me sometimes. Can't fool God. Can't deceive God. God knows whether you're ready to meet him or not. God knows whether or not you've received him. And then the really good news is that after I come to Christ and I walk in this life and I struggle every day with sin issues, with temptations, and I fall and I fail, He's even provided for us to be restored to fellowship. 1 John 1:9, the letter 1 John was written to believers. 1 John 1:9 is not a salvation verse. It's written to believers who fall into sin, who mess up. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to restore us to that relationship with Him. If the prodigal son can come back, we can come back. How awesome is the news that we can be prepared to meet God? Judgment is certainly coming, and we need to be preparing. Because one day we're going to stand before God, and at that point, our eternity is sealed. We're either, as believers, going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of our lives and enter into eternal life. Or we're going to stand before God at the great white throne and answer for our lack of receiving Christ and answer for our lives and be cast into the lake of fire, eternity in hell. One day that judgment is coming. We must be prepared. We must choose Jesus Christ. Are you prepared to meet God? Are you prepared to see Him? Do you really believe the Bible and what the Bible says that one day He's coming back? Because if you do, it ought to cause you to live your life in that way. To live your life to honor God. To live your life to please God and glorify God. We need to prepare for the judgment that's coming. We need to prepare ourselves by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. We need to prepare others by telling them about Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel message with a world in need. We need to prepare our families by training up our children to love and obey God. We need to prepare our community by living and proclaiming the truth of God's Word. We need to prepare our country by staying true to the Word of God. We must be prepared. You can't fool God. If you've been going through the motions, maybe today's the day when you get honest with God and say, God, what Pastor Jeff said is me. And I know I'm not fooling you, and I know I'm a sinner. That's the judgment I would face is hell. But I believe Jesus died for my sins, and so God, I want you to forgive my sins. I want you to save me. I want you to give me that home in heaven. I want to know you in a personal relationship. Praise God, He's there. For those of us that have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, what if right now some catastrophic event happened and every single one of us was killed instantly and you gave an account before God? There'd be a lot of things that you're pretty embarrassed about. Things that are happening in your life. Things that are in your thought life. Things that you're looking at. Things you're spending your time with. Things that are happening in your life that shouldn't be there. Prepare by putting 1 John 1:9 into practice. Confess those sins. And He restores that fellowship. He forgives us and cleanses us. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to have you stand. I'm not going to have you come forward. But I want you to do me a favor. If today you're honest enough to say, Pastor, that's me, and today I received Christ. Or, Pastor, please pray for me. And you don't have to give me specifics, but please pray for me. There's a little brown card in the pew in front of you, a little prayer card. One of those things says, I received Christ today. Fill that out and hand that to me so I can pray for you. Talk to somebody next to you. Share that with Christ. Are you ready? If God keeps me here 20 years, you're going to hear a message just like this more than once. Because we have to be ready. Father, thank you for this truth. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that you could use a shepherd like Amos to proclaim your truth. Lord, I ask right now that if there's somebody here that doesn't have that relationship with you through Jesus Christ, that you would work in their hearts and their minds. Help them to get honest and sincere with you. For those of us that know you, Lord, convict us of those areas of sin that need to be confessed and dealt with and turned from. Help us to be prepared to meet you. Help us to live our lives to bring honor and glory to you. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name.